Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent, technology and tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising, production, and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour for a Friday afternoon with this, not in studio, because we are doing this from Prairie Meadows for AMA Experience. That's the American Marketing Association, Iowa. And with us from Ankeny, Iowa, is Heather Lamb. And she is, I guess you could say, a digital expert, a data-driven person that works with marketing people all over the place. And we're going to talk about why she came to Prairie Meadows to talk to AMA Iowa. Welcome to the Business News Hour.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Well, you come to us from Florida about 10 years ago, and you now live here in the metro. Thank you for moving here. We love it. What is it that businesses need to better understand when they're marketing to consumers?
So, great question. I'll start a little bit with my background. So, I'm math focused.
I didn't bring that up because it just, my eyes cross when you say math.
Right. I know, everyone's do. But I landed in marketing and I found marketing fascinating. And there's been so many changes in the past decade with new digital marketing and experiences and social media that we have to change the way that we're marketing to our customers. Historically, as marketers, we've been top-down approach. We like to tell customers of the products that we have in a way that we think they understand. However, in the new age, customers don't have to listen to us. They can unfollow us on Facebook. They can skip through the commercials on their DVR. So we need to make sure that the messages that we are sending to our customers are valuable and that they want to listen to them. And one great way to understand those is by measuring your customer behavior and marketing towards that.
You have to know first, don't you, who your customer is? Because many, many businesses, and we know them all, they try to use this shotgun approach saying, okay, we're going to be everything to everybody. But not everybody is a super target. And so you really have to hone those messages, but also understand better what your customer wants to hear.
Exactly. And one of the ways that we have recently started marketing is segment-based marketing, so doing customer relationship marketing based on segments. However, that doesn't tell us why a customer reacts to a message, just who they are and what they do. What we need to do is send out a message and listen to how our customers are behaving and engaging with it in order to determine our best customer. So now we're in a place where we can ask people in a room how many people want the message, have them raise their hand, and deliver the message.
Now, are we talking about being able to do focus groups? How do we find that information about our consumers, our customers?
Well, there's two ways that you can do it. You can start small with very small digital campaigns that are easily trackable, send out a message to the masses rather cheaply, and then hone that in to see who is responding and why. We can also look at historical marketing efforts to determine which segments responded the best, look for patterns, and determine why they responded the best.
That sounds like a lot of work for a small business person.
It may be a lot of work, but it's a lot cheaper than buying customer segments and generating focus groups.
When we talk about knowing who your consumer is or who your customer is, there are so many ways out there utilizing social media to actually listen to what consumers are saying. How can people utilize social media, not so much for broadcasting, but for listening?
That's a great question. And I feel that not only can you do passive listening on social media by sentiment analysis or listening to the followers that you have on what they're saying, but also being there to provide a great customer experience for your customer when they have a need and when they're talking about you. So being responsive to your customer as well and learning how they want you to interact with them.
And I suspect you could follow like businesses out there, businesses that are similar to you, to find out what they may be doing or what they're not doing, and how they do or they do not communicate back with their consumers.
That's a fantastic point. So no longer do we have to reinvent the wheel. We can start collecting data on our competitors, see what they're doing, see what works and what doesn't, and go from there. So it's a great starting point.
Yay. Heather Lamb, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for stopping by and giving us this brief look at what it is that you do.
Well,
smart people in mathematics. See, you can even talk marketing.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. We will have links to Heather's business a little bit later in the radio blog. Thanks again for doing this.
Thank you.
We're continuing our conversation from Prairie Meadows for AMA Iowa, the AMA Iowa Experience. And Carrie Rosno is with us. She is from a company, Skyline, that you might recognize as a company that builds displays for trade shows and more. Carrie, welcome to the Business News Hour. So nice to see you.
Thank you.
I took part in listening to some of what you had to say in there. Trade shows abound. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. You folks have been building trade show displays and things for your clients for years.
Yes.
What is it that businesses need to know to make a bigger impact at the trade show?
I think the first thing that they need to understand is it's not just about the exhibit. I think when we have clients come in, that's what they want to talk about. How do I get clients into my booth, and how do I make them stay there? And what do those graphics look like? What does the exhibit itself look like? How tall should it be? Should I do a hanging sign? Should I not? And I think we get lost in those details, and we forget that the greater impact that happens on a trade show floor is the staff itself.
It's the interaction between people.
It is.
And the question is, well, how do I get someone's attention? Because as you know, in trade shows all over the world, people tend to like to walk down the center of the aisle. Don't look left. Don't look right. Oh, my God, somebody's going to talk to me or sell me something. But at the same time, how do you make it an inviting experience for people to come and visit the staff?
Well, I think part of the problem with trade shows is that it's overwhelming. You walk on a trade show floor and there's tens of thousands of messages. There's lights. It's loud. There's people all over the place. And as you're walking in those aisles, it's like going in a stream of traffic. So it's very hard to turn left or right. And having those conversations can seem somewhat intimidating. And the reason why is because if I walk into that exhibit, they're going to sell me something.
Right.
I don't want to be sold to.
Exactly.
I want somebody who's going to understand what I need, who's actually going to listen to me and help to provide a solution based on my conversation.
How do you get to that point? How can you're a professional in this, how can you train or how can you get staff and a business to understand how to do that?
They need to stop having their own agenda.
They need to be other-centered. They need to be focused on what the consumer wants, not necessarily what they're selling.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And we get caught so often in our heads, right? We don't listen to understand. We listen to reply.
What makes a good trade show booth?
People, first and foremost. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And then having a nice, inviting atmosphere. You want it to be comfortable. You want people to feel welcome off of a show floor, almost like a retreat. Get me out of the chaos. Get me out of the traffic and give me a comfortable place to relax.
So open up that trade show booth. Have it inviting. Maybe comfy chairs, a coffee table. Looks like somebody's den versus a sales floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It needs to be an extension of who you are as a company. It needs to continue communicating your culture and your values.
What about the graphic side? We tend to go to that philosophy that less is more. The more, if you've got less than 6 seconds to grab somebody's attention. If you have all this stuff, people get confused as to who you are, what you're doing, and should it be clean and neat? I mean, as far as imagery.
At the end of the day, we need to remember that nobody's reading it.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's reading it. You'll put 7 bullet points. You'll have a paragraph. You'll have a graphic talks through all of your product specs and everything that it has to offer. Nobody's reading it. They're walking right past it. You're correct. You have about 3 seconds actually to grab somebody's attention as they're walking down the aisle. 3 seconds. And if I can't very easily look over and see what the company is and who they are or what they're about, I'm going to keep walking.
Carrie Rosno, ladies and gentlemen, great advice for individuals who are struggling with their trade show experience. Thanks so very much for visiting with us.
Thank you.
We're continuing our conversation with individuals who are presenting here at the AMA Iowa Experience at Prairie Meadows. And with us is Tiffany Tauschek. You might recognize that name from some TV time here in the Greater Des Moines Metro, but she is the Chief Communications Officer with the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Welcome to the Business News Hour.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here.
So you were telling the people at this great hall here for AMA Iowa Experience about building relationships, being local, but also taking that message globally. Is that what the partnership's been doing?
Absolutely. As you know, the partnership recently unveiled a global DSM strategy for talent and also for economic development through FDI. And with that, we have been talking quite a bit today about how it's important to ensure we have our locals taken care of and feeling good about the relationship and the partnership overall, as well as asking them, inviting them to help amplify and tell the region's story.
Because you can do so much more when everybody is on base, right?
That's right. And it works very well, especially with our vision as an organization, which is one voice, one mission, one region.
Absolutely. Tiffany Tauschak, ladies and gentlemen, she is with the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Just launched, by the way, Capital Crossroads 2.0. That we had Bethany on with us just last week. And we have told individuals, Tiffany, that everybody in Central Iowa is going to be in one way or another touched by this. Is that right?
That's true. So going through the process, getting to the point where we had the 2.0 plan to roll out, there were more than 3,000 individuals that provided feedback and input to help guide us to these key strategies to move the region forward. And we are asking individuals, please volunteer your time, get involved. And we want to continue to ask individuals, invite them in to participate and help build this. We know that we are a building community. We are all about working together and pushing the region forward. If we stand still and become complacent, that's going to be bad news. So we need to continue to build and push ahead.
And when we talk about the local and global aspect of the Greater Des Moines Partnership, one of the curious things about that is it's almost like herding cats, because you have 23 various chamber organizations all busy doing their own thing, but funneling information back into the Greater Des Moines Partnership that then takes that voice of those 23 members on a much broader scale on a global basis. Is that kind of the nut of this?
So that's part of it. We have now 24 affiliates.
Madison County.
Madison County.
That's right.
24 affiliates. 6,000 members, about 300 investors, and 8 counties that we represent. So with that, there are, of course, individuals within the partnership team that are dedicated to each of those audiences and making sure we're communicating with them, hearing them, and enhancing that relationship. But it's more than that. We also have social media ambassadors that we're working with. We have committees and boards and volunteers. So we do what we can to keep everybody moving in the same direction, knowing that we may not always agree on every point, but helping people understand the why and have an opportunity to contribute is incredibly meaningful.
And as I understand it, cities from around the United States continue to come to Des Moines to learn how they can replicate what the Greater Des Moines Partnership has done on their own home turf. Is that right?
That's correct. We've had just recently Topeka in visiting, learning from us, and they were more excited about learning how we could engage their locals, or how they could learn to engage their own locals to tell and amplify Topeka's story. So they learned from us through that process. Wichita just reached out, and they're doing a story on Greater Des Moines and comparing Wichita to Greater Des Moines. And of course, we understand and we know that it's taken 15 years to get us to this point.
Happen.
It didn't just happen overnight, and it's a process, and we can't let up. We have to continue to maximize our momentum.
There's lots of people there working on the same mission and the same voice for the same region. Thank you very much, Tiffany, for spending some time with us. Appreciate it. All right, we'll continue with more here on the Business News Hour.
When I first saw him standing there,